Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was an impossible situation. For 40 years, Israel had been suffering under the cruel boot heel of the Philistines, with the Philistines looting their cities and ravaging their countryside. Severely oppressed and enslaved, Israel was in a dark and hopeless time. Now, so often, though, dark and hopeless times give birth to either new or renewed faith in God. God heard the Israelites. He heard their repentant groans, and he did for them what was humanly impossible. He rescued them from the Philistines. But God's rescue plan did not start with gathering some underground rebel army or some smuggling of weapons. His plan centered on one man who would single-handedly rescue Israel without touching any conventional weapons of war in that day. What's more, God's rescue plan also commenced with circumstances no one could have foreseen. It was with an angel speaking to a barren woman, the wife of Manoah. "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son," the angel proclaimed. The Lord, we know, had already done great things through the barren wombs of Sarah and Rebekah and Rachel. And he would yet again do great things in the future through the wombs of Hannah and Elizabeth. The wife of Manoah would join their ranks by bearing an important son. Now, his name was Samson. God's Spirit gave Samson incredible strength. He single-handedly accomplished jaw-dropping feats of strength, incredible strength, things that became the stuff of legend. Once, while he was in a vineyard, he was attacked by a vicious lion. Samson literally tore the lion to pieces with his bare hands. It was like the creature was made of cotton candy. And another time, Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with a makeshift weapon. It was the jawbone of a donkey. And then also, when the Philistines thought that they had trapped Samson in Gaza, he went out at midnight. He ripped the city gates from the walls and then carried the gates by himself on his back to the top of a hill. But his final feat of strength was his greatest. He had been blinded, he was weakened and mocked by his enemies. So they placed Samson between two pillars on the ground floor of a large building where thousands of Philistines were worshiping their god, Dagon. Samson, weak though he was, pushed his arms outward against the pillars. And even though it would cause his own death, Samson prayed. Samson prayed that God would let him have strength once more to be able to pull the building down on all of those Philistines. And through Samson's final act, 3,000 of Israel's enemies died there. God's Spirit did great things through Samson. However, Samson's life was supposed to be distinguished not only by his single-handed feats of strength, but also by his single-minded devotion to the Lord. Even before he was conceived, he was set apart to live as a Nazarite, meaning he was forbidden from eating anything unclean, from drinking wine or any strong drink, and from cutting his hair. He was to be different, set apart, holy, in the sense of being set apart for God's purposes. That's what holiness means. He was to live life fully and totally dedicated to the Lord. But while Samson may have wowed us with his strength, he didn't wow anyone with his dedication to the Lord. Again and again, he failed to live up to his Nazarite calling. Now, in our baptism, we also have been called, like Samson, to be holy, to think and live differently than the world around us, the world that opposes God. God's word says to us, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." That's what we read and heard from 1 Peter. But to our shame, we are like Samson. We've not wowed anyone with our holiness. We've been undisciplined and self-indulgent. We've compromised and have too often blended in with the world. We've been much more devoted to our sports teams, our coffee drinks, and our TV shows, very oftentimes then to the Lord and His Word and His church. We've been much more dedicated to our whims and our impulses and desires than to the Lord our God. We've been much more committed to our own way than to the Lord's way. Our dedication to living a holy life has certainly not wowed God. And so we stand guilty before Him. We find ourselves, again, in an impossible situation from which we cannot rescue ourselves. But the Lord can. And He has. Rejoice that the Lord is more dedicated to you than you are to Him. Ponder that for a moment. The Lord is more dedicated to you than you are to Him. He has done for you what you could never do for yourself. In the fullness of time, at a time of great oppression, the same God who acted for Israel through Samson acted for the world. He acted for you. With single-minded devotion, He rescued you from your sins and from the devil that you chose to obey. He has single-handedly done what is humanly impossible. He has rescued you by the greatest rescue plan. Rejoice, for nothing will be impossible with God. Now, six times, in Scripture, God did wondrous things through the wombs of unlikely women. But in the gospel lesson today, He does an even more wonderful thing through the womb of the most unlikely seventh. He speaks His word through the angel Gabriel, and a faithful virgin named Mary conceives the greatest deliverer. God outdoes Himself. The rescue plan for the world begins not through a barren womb, but through a new one. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son," the angel said. Mary's womb would bear not a sinful, imperfect child like Samson, but rather the sinless, perfect Christ child, Jesus. No wonder Gabriel said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Of his kingdom there will be no end. The child to be born will be called holy." What child is this? This child is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The child conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary was the greater Samson. His life was also set apart, but he did not waver from his calling and the purpose of his life. Also, unlike Samson, Jesus' greatness was not found in his single-handed feats of strength. Instead, his greatness was in setting aside his divine godly strength to single-handedly, in his fully human nature, do everything necessary for your salvation. He had the strength to easily rip apart the lion, Satan. Yet for your sake, he placed himself inside Satan's jaws, suffering God's righteous judgment in your place. He could have used the jawbone of a donkey to wipe out a world of people who have sinned against him. But instead, he went willingly to the place of a skull, Golgotha, to suffer death in your place. He could have destroyed all those who have rebelled against him, but instead, he lifted all rebellion onto his back and took it up a hill to atone for us, to atone for all of that. He could have stretched out his arms and crushed his enemies at any time, but instead, for your sake, he let himself be blindfolded, beaten, and mocked, so that he might stretch out his limp, dying arms on a cross and let hell's punishment do its worst against him and not you. And yet, more than all of this, the greatest act this child ever did was to rise from the dead on the third day. He single-handedly won the ultimate victory for you while bringing eternal judgment on his foes. From a new womb to a new tomb, this child's whole life was dedicated to making you new, a new creation, filled with the same Holy Spirit that empowered even Samson, the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary. You now can say with Mary, "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." Say that with me. "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." When the Lord sends trials, we can say, "Let it be, Lord, for what you ordain is always good." If the cancer comes back, still we can say, "Let it be, Lord, for your will is always best." In impossible situations, in times of deep discouragement and depression, we can still say, "Let it be so, Lord. You know best when to end it. For our Lord is great. His mercy is great. And his victory is great. In the name of this child, Jesus, the great deliverer. Amen." May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.